Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 71 on December 2nd, 2013 in the wee hours of the morning and one of my favorite times to record. I have all kinds of stuff for everybody tonight and it's sort of all over the map. So let's jump right in with my first letter. One of the things I was doing was going through my email box and looking up just some of the old stuff that kind of got lost in the shuffle, so to speak. And I kept meaning to put on my podcast or answer, and I never did get around to it. And this is one of those. This is obviously from a man who is, English is not his first language, and that's indicated by the email address, which was from France, as well as sometimes the way the phrasing is in the email itself. So let me read this to you. There is something I don't understand. In what I have read about prostate massage on Google, it is specified that it can be made through fingering or a suitable dildo with the convenient curve, or in solo with an Aneros. And that, to be efficient after having found the prostate, to touch it lightly and with mildness. It is all an art, similar to clitoris titillating. To obtain the wonderful result looking to be so appreciated by the amateurs. This approach seems to be in total contradiction with the pegging, as you see in the different videos showing a brutal penetration of the man's anus, followed by these rapid comings and goings. Even if it becomes painless with adequate lube, I don't see how this swift movement can stimulate the prostate. Too fast, I think. Except if you place in the optic of female's domination, which is precisely my optic, in which the pegging is similar to a rape, with the advantage of lasting much longer than a normal rape, I don't see how the prostate could be excited to the point to give several dry orgasms in these conditions. Of course, the best would to be asked two homosexuals practicing sodomy, how they really operate and what pleasure have the one making the pegging apart from a dominant feeling. To end, I want to tell you I am against the females wearing an imitation of a penis. It recalls me too much homosexuality or she-male's theme. However, I should favor the fieldos with a dildo not recalling too much a male's penis. Fieldos may many people practicing pegging are using. Hoping an answer. Best regards, dear Ruby. Okay, the only part of that I didn't understand was when he was talking about the optic of female's domination. But first, sir, let me respond. It appears that the videos that you are watching are probably professional porn. And professional porn almost always depicts pegging as a very brutal thing, that it's almost like a punishment of the man. Pegging can be done very slowly, very sensuously, and very much like a finger giving a prostate massage. So don't believe the videos that you have been watching that that's the only way it can be done, because that's far from it. That is an illusion, and they create those films to portray a certain fantasy, and very much, very many things about that fantasy are not real. On the other hand, you mention how you don't see how the swift movement can stimulate the prostate effectively. Some men love the swift movement. Some men love the rapid comings and goings. It's all a matter of how you do it, and it's all a matter of what the man likes. And then later on in your letter, you mentioned the best would be to ask homosexuals practicing sodomy how they operate and what pleasure the one making the pegging gets apart from a dominant feeling. Well, obviously, if you're talking to gay guys, the penis has all kinds of lovely nerve endings, so a man fucking another man is bound to get all kinds of pleasure just because he's fucking someone. So that's pretty obvious. As far as women fucking a man, you can take pleasure in the dominance. You can take simple pleasure in providing your partner pleasure. And you can also find pleasure yourself. Orgasmic potential depending on the equipment that you use, the stimulation you're receiving, and mentally how much you just get off on the act itself. I understand your preference to not have the dildo actually look like a penis, but again, that is such a personal choice. Some men love that taboo of the toy looking exactly like a penis. Some women love to have the toy look exactly like a penis and pretend like they have one. So that's absolutely a matter of preference. I understand that you don't want that, but there's a whole bunch of people out there who do. I don't mind the realistic ones. I have a couple of them, but I like colors. Specifically, I like purple, but I have a bunch of colored ones now, and I actually like those a lot. On the other hand, I also really like there being a head to it, so it being the vague shape of a penis, but there's something about the head, because I know what it feels like when I'm penetrated by a penis in my ass, and I know the feeling of when the head of the penis goes in, and then your sphincter closes around just as the head clears and gets inside you, and there's this lovely feeling of pleasure, intense pleasure and relief, and it's just remarkable. So I like to try and duplicate that because I know what it feels like. It feels lovely. So thank you very much for writing in, and I hope I've answered your questions for you. And I do apologize that it took me so long to answer. I'll be sending you an email, though, to let you know that I am finally getting around to answering your question. Okay, this next one is just a comment that I wanted to read that I responded to an email. I believe I gave some information on the podcast, and then I followed up when I found more information and wrote this specific listener one more time. And I just... when I get these emails like this, when I get these messages, they just really encourage me. They inspire me. They help me to remember every time I get one why I do what I do. I love what I do, and I love it even more when I get messages like this. Thanks, Ruby, for the information. Do you even realize how helpful you are in clearing up all the myths that we suffer with this wonderful practice? Our sex life is better than we could ever even imagine, and we're in our 60s. Thanks for the help, and keep changing those attitudes one ass at a time. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love reading those, and you are so welcome. Okay, moving right along. Here's another one. It's been a while since I last wrote. This last year has been a bit of a challenge. My wife and I were both out of work 12 to 15 months. That takes a toll on a marriage. Living together in a house, there is no separation. Sadly, the first casualty was pegging. She just lost the desire. We've both gotten jobs about 3 to 4 weeks ago. I am hoping I will see some pegging soon. I did try using a dildo by myself, and it wasn't the same. The topic of when to have sex and when to do pegging. With pegging, generally it is something special she gives to me. Pegging has her focus on my pleasure, my orgasm. Sure, she enjoys it too, but truly, she's putting her pleasure second to yours. Whose G-spot is getting rubbed? Not hers. There's a fine line between loving to do something to hating to do something. My wife really enjoys my back massages, so when I give her a massage, she knows I will not ask for sex. Although rubbing her naked body with baby oil gets me so excited, the massage is my treat to her with no reciprocating sex or other demands tied to it. She gets to enjoy the massage and relax entirely before she falls asleep. This is almost a trade-off or barter system. I wanted to comment on your topic of planning. She knows I like to plan. I enjoy the stimulation I get counting down the days or hours. I get super excited looking forward to sex. My wife hates planning. She says it is so unspontaneous. She understands with today's demanding schedules, oftentimes we do have to plan it somewhat. I don't think this will ever be totally resolved. I enjoy all of your progress this year, Ruby. I am very proud for you of all your achievements. I hope my next letter I will have reason to play some happy music. I hope she comes around soon. I hope she does too. It's not uncommon when things get stressful for sex to be the first casualty, and certainly a part of sex that is sort of like the frosting on the cake, the special stuff, you know, and something that requires planning and effort, pre-planning, that sort of thing. So I'm sorry for you guys that, first of all, that you've been out of work for so long, and I'm glad that you finally found employment again. I have had this message for some time. Like I mentioned, I was cleaning out my email box, so I do hope that things have improved, and if they have, please write us and let us know. I'm glad you talked about the difference between someone who's fine with scheduling sex and someone who really does not prefer that because it feels like a total lack of spontaneity. And my suggestion in terms of when one partner really wants to have the pegging all the time, which is almost always the man, and the woman who wants to mix it in with other things, do it sometimes, but not perhaps as much as the man does. And then every time they get to bed, the man is really hoping that she will peg him. And she perhaps is thinking, oh, not this again. I hope he doesn't want this again. And my suggestion to that, I do recall, and I still suggest this, is to plan it. But I get that that just kind of kills it for your wife. I don't really have any other suggestions as to how to deal with that. But if you have found any, please do let us know. And if things are better, I'm going to play the happy music for you anyway, even though it's not your first time, because these small successes need to be celebrated. And, you know, we all support you and hope that things are better. Okay, here is another message. This is kind of a long one, so settle in. I listened to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast that you were on about pegging, and I was really taken with your confidence and experience and feel comfortable reaching out. A little background. I am a humosexual male, Kinsey Scale 3, if you will, who has dated mostly women but sexually been with equal parts men and women. 1 3-year relationship with a woman and 1 3-year relationship with a man, right down the middle in all romantic sexual experience up to this point. 3 years ago, I encountered pegging with a coworker, a lesbian who was interested in male humiliation. I agreed to come into bed with she and her partner for a pegging session and loved it. I had chosen to be with men because I love prostate stimulation and anal play, but didn't think that was really possible with women based on my long-term relationship with the woman I mentioned, thinking it was queer and dirty. So I date women and love it, and then at a point I'd feel dissatisfied, frustrated, and even aggressive sometimes, and jump over to men for a while. And honestly, I felt disgusting when I was with men. Penetrating anally is one of the most no-erotic experiences I have ever had. I chalk this up to my American neurosis about men who sex with men and not wanting to be a cliché. I'm a professional dancer. I dismissed a feeling of disgust and suffered through sexual experiences with men for nearly a decade. That is how deeply I crave anal play and prostate orgasmic experiences. So I actually lived at a Buddhist monastery and practiced the monastic precepts. I needed to do some healing and reflecting, and so I retreated into the woods and live a life of celibacy and poverty. I healed some old wounds and untied some psychosexual knots, among other things. I disrobed back in September and have been reintegrated into the lay world. Turns out, I am a man who likes lady bits and really likes it in the butt, but doesn't like dick. Took 10 years, robes, and precepts to figure it out, but I'm glad I'm still young and know what I need to feel really satisfied. Some people never figure it out, right? Well, now I'm with a woman I really feel deeply connected with spiritually and sexually. We are in a committed relationship, though it is new. I don't want to get to the place where I feel frustrated again. I want to lay my cards on the table and ask for what I want, and I'm being patient. She is queer as well, so I have shared with her my past with men, and she is comfortable with that history. But the conversation about anal play has a different dimension when your partner knows you've been with men. The "so are you gay?" question is much more loaded, and at least in her mind, substantiated. Even as open-minded as we are, there are some insecurities around not having the clear security of heteronormative binary experience. Inviting toys into the mix is an extra layer that doesn't have the same anchors a typical heterosexual relationship would otherwise have built in. I've shared with her why I no longer date men and how I'm only interested in dating women. I've assured her of my commitment to her and our shared spiritual and erotic experience. All the while, I've been laying the foundation for the steps to anal play. Though I'm jumping into the deep end, I think I'm jumping from a good platform and have the skillful means to really swim through these waters. But I wanted to check in with you and seek out your expertise. Are there any red flags here that I'm not seeing? Do you have some extended advice beyond what is outlined on Pegging 101 for me? This ended up being longer than I anticipated writing, but there it is. Thank you for sharing on Sex Nerd Sandra, and thank you for your efforts on these websites. Keep up the great work offering avenues to something that has a lot of taboo in its way. Okay, my first response, you didn't actually ever use the word bisexual, and I don't like to put labels on people, but I'm going to use that just as a matter of convenience, and I hope it doesn't rub you the wrong way. But having been with both men and women, I see that as primarily bisexual, even though I know it's different than queer and a bunch of different things. My point in using that word is that there are misconceptions about bisexual people because they are attracted to both sexes, that they somehow have less of a chance of being faithful, or I don't like that word, they have less of a chance of keeping monogamous vows that they promise. There's this strange idea that if you're not only attracted to one gender, you're attracted to both. Goodness, that's twice as many people you could potentially have an affair with. And so it's really unlikely that even if you're really good at making promises and keeping them, and you make a vow of monogamy, that, oh goodness, with all that temptation, you know, of course, you will probably have an affair. Can you hear the sarcasm here? Because it's a really irritating misconception. More so for the people who do have an attraction to both genders. So even though you have gotten to the point, which fascinating journey, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's an amazing journey. So you went through that journey and you are now to the point of realizing you don't like dick. You don't want to be with men. You love it up the ass and you love women. So I hear how you have explained that to your partner, but I suspect that she is still suffering a little bit from that misconception. I think what she hears in her head is that you are not attracted to men anymore because this is what you're telling her, then this is your reality. But because you have been with men, like you said, in her mind at least, her fears are more substantiated because you have been with men and because you were for quite some time. Despite the fact of you describing that as not being a good experience and the bouncing back and forth, particularly because it was not a good experience and neither experience by itself was fulfilling, I think perhaps there is a part of her that thinks that because you have been with both sexes, that yes, it is, her fears are substantiated. Now, as to how to calm those, perhaps it might be a good thing in speaking with her to bring it down to the basics. And the basics in your situation, the basic is that you're making a promise and you're going to keep it. And so she either trusts that you will make that promise and keep it, or she doesn't. The only other thing I can think of is to explain really clearly and in the detail that you did here, which you may have already done, that the reason that your past relationships with women frustrated you was because you have such a huge desire for anal pleasure. And also make sure she has all the information she needs, that prostate pleasure is equal to G-spot pleasure. Prostate pleasure far outscores regular penile orgasms. And if she understands that, it might become more understandable for her that you seek that and crave it so much. It's because it feels so damn good. I mean, imagine if she could just have clitoral stimulation and no G-spot. And I'm assuming here that she is in touch with her G-spot. And, you know, to say, no, I don't want you to do the G-spot thing because that might mean something else. We just won't do that. I mean, I'm not sure if she's able to hear that sort of a conversation and have it sink in. But the more information you give her, the better in terms of how much pleasure is there. And also, you can even bring in the health aspect, because prostate massage, which would include pegging, is really, really good for your prostate health. This has been proven. Benign prostatic hyperplasia, BPH, is epidemic. And 50% of men over 50 will have this. So it's been shown that prostate massage, which again can include pegging, helps with that. It reduces the symptoms. It keeps the prostate healthier. And if you have BPH, it can completely eliminate those symptoms. So this is, bring in the health aspect. Maybe that might sway her as well. But I think if you want to distill it down to a laser point, it's about trust. It's about trust and honesty and her trust in you that you will be able to keep that promise. Other than that, I think you're doing everything wonderfully, and it sounds like you're a good communicator, and I hope it all works out. Let us know how it goes. I think it's just going to take a little time for her is what I'm hoping. Thanks so much for sharing your story, your adventure, your journey. That was an amazing story. Okay, this is a very interesting comment that I actually got on my website, pegging101.com. And once again, if you're a new listener, I have two websites, peggingparadise.com and pegging101.com. The differentiation between the two is peggingparadise.com. is a place where overlapping kinks are accepted 100%. Everybody's welcome. So there's a fair amount of talk of other kinks and fetishes, BDSM, dominance, feminization, chastity play, things like this. And I'm sure there's others I have forgotten. This sometimes scares away people who are just looking for pegging information. They really don't want to hear about all that other stuff because pegging is enough of a hurdle in and of itself. So for those people and for people who want straight information about pegging without any of the other overlapping possible kinks and fetishes, pegging101.com is where straight information is. So this is a comment that was left on my article about a prostate orgasm. And it's a kind of an amazing comment, so much so that I just wanted to read you the whole thing. I've tried many kinds of plugs, vibes, dildos, trying to have 100% anal orgasm, and I thought it would never happen. Got close many times, but I'd end up stroking my dick and explode. I would get close, and then I'd rub my dick once or twice and come. While using a dildo 5, 10, 15 hours in my ass, one day I was in the store and saw something that looked like it was made to do just what I wanted. They had two sizes to choose from, one not so big and haha, one XL. That's what I got. I highly recommend XL. It is a plug. It's like 6 or 7 pointed bulbs. Each one is the same size. It has a long handle with a loop. I learned the easy way to work it in. As I try to push one bulb in, I also grunt like I'm trying to poop, and it pops in. Worked 3 into my ass. The first time I used it, I found myself holding the wall, knees bent, trembling. This won't fall out. I just held onto the wall, knees bent slightly, for 2 hours, maybe 4. Lost all sense of time. felt like I was 2 seconds away from coming harder than I ever had. My dick had a constant trickle, oozing. Suddenly, without warning, I start to shake and had no control. 10 seconds later, I shot so hard it sounded like I was popping holes in the wall. I ejaculated like 6 times more than ever. Constant, hard squirts. I fell to the floor and had a body spasm. The plug was still in my ass, and I realized my dick was still throbbing hard. So I got comfy on the floor and gently shook the handle. For the first time, it felt so good I convulsed all over, ending up coming 4 more times that night. Never touched my dick, and it was throbbing hard the whole time. And the message goes on, but it kind of gets a little less understandable and a little less, believable. It's kind of wild. It's a very interesting comment, but this first part, I thought that guys would like to hear, and the women too, who are sort of joining their partners in their partner's quest to get a prostate orgasm, a hands-free orgasm, because all of the information that we can get on that, once again, contributes to the crowd knowledge, the group sourcing of knowledge. So yeah, that was very interesting. And I've heard guys talk about that before, about, in fact, I know a guy who, he needs a vibe in his ass, but if he has abstained for a while, 2, 3 days, 4 days, maybe, if he puts a vibe in his ass and just lays there, he recently, for the very first time in doing this abstaining, he had an orgasm and then it was ejaculation free and then he felt like it wasn't really quite complete. And so he just felt compelled to reach down and jerk himself off. And when he came that time, the second time when he was doing penile stimulation as well, it was really, really, really intense. And I told him, welcome to the world of multiple orgasms. You got there. So that's something that actually another reader with another message further down the podcast, I'll read you his message as well. But thank you, sir, for writing in and commenting on pegging101.com. That was a wild message you left. Okay, here's another one. Ah, it actually wasn't further down the podcast. This is the very next letter. How convenient. Okay, here we go. Listening to episode 59, the orgasm without ejaculation, the listener wrote on about, is something I have experienced. I have had this happen about 6 times in the last 2 years. The last time was at Burning Man last week. Sometimes it was with prostate play, but not always, so I wouldn't label it a super orgasm. I understand this to be a multiple orgasm. When it has happened for me, it was always an intense experience that involved multiple stimulations, some combination of penile, testicle, anal, nipple stimulation, multiple people, etc. When it had happened, it felt like an orgasm and felt like I ejaculated. Then I realized I didn't ejaculate. If a standard orgasm is a 10, this was a 7 to 8, but each time was immediately followed not by going soft, but getting even harder with an intense need to ejaculate, which led to more sex and a way powerful orgasm with ejaculation, a 15 or so compared to that of a standard orgasm. Last week, I got to try my hand, well, my mouth and hands, at sucking cock. He orgasmed the same way, full orgasm, spasms, moans, and all, and no ejaculation. Helped that my wife was sucking on his nipples while I was between his legs. Says it happens often for him, and prefers it as he can go again quicker than if he orgasms naturally. Was a bit of a relief for me, as I was expecting the ejaculation, and still not prepared to deal with it. Well, still something I can look forward to experiencing for the first time anyway. Just wanted to provide another experience on separating orgasm from ejaculation. Now if I could control this, I would do it far more often. Yes, if we all could perfectly control our orgasms, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Thank you for writing in with this information, because I think that I had started leaning to believing that multiple orgasms happen most of the time with prostate stimulation to have a multiple like that happen. But because most of the time I'm involved in prostate stimulation in one form or another, I think I'd sort of leaned into starting to think that that is how multiple orgasms were possible most of the time. So thanks for that correction. And thanks for that totally hot description of your adventure. Wow. That is awesome. Okay, now what I have to tell you guys about. You know, I wave the banner of need to get to DC, and I ask for your donations. And you guys, wow. You guys just came out and you did it. I'm floored. So can you tell? It's like, I don't even know what words to say. I'm so honored by your generosity. And so I have gotten permission from the donors to read off their first names and their donation amounts. And I'm getting all teary-eyed because I really, really, really appreciate this. I know that everybody listening who has already done pegging, and not the people who are here who are interested in it and waiting to experience it, but the ones who have been there, done that, and are loving it or did love it, that I know it's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not dinner conversation when you have the neighbors over or your best friends, even. Sometimes it is best friend conversation, and when you have those kind of friends, it's awesome. But the point is, it's delicate stuff to talk about. You don't share it with just anybody. And at the same time, I know that you're so passionate about it that you would love to spread the word amongst everyone. And so, like I said before, consider me your little beacon of pegging light. I will shine this light wherever I can and tell as many people as possible and spread the word. So I really appreciate your support, and I understand the passion underneath it. And let me tell you where I am in the donations here. First of all, Derek sent in $100. Wow, Derek, thank you very, very much. And when I wrote in to ask him if I could use his first name, he said yes, and he wrote this back. You are very welcome. Your podcast brings me so much enjoyment and pleasure that I will happily support your quest to spread the word. We, the listeners, receive such a wealth of information at no cost to us that I felt I should take this opportunity to show you how much your podcast and message means to us, the listeners. I hope that all of the listeners can reach out at any dollar amount and support you and your trip. P.S. I would like to add plus one vote for a recorded version of the basic and advanced classes that you offer. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that, as more people ask for it, and as I realize that there's a need for that, that is getting further and further up the list in terms of making it to the top, that the next thing that I'm going to tackle. So thank you for your generosity, Derek. Very much appreciated. And then I received a $50 donation from Mark. And thank you so much for the generous contribution. And as I mentioned before, anybody who donates $50 or more, I give them a free year subscription to the I Want It All, which includes every single story I have written up on peggingparadise.com. And I think there's 35 or so at this point. I haven't counted recently. And Mark, when he wrote back and gave me permission to use his name, said, I am happy to do my small part to contribute to your travel fund to spread the word. Thank you, Mark. And then John sent in $50. And many thanks for this generous contribution to John. John, I hear, has a pegging success story to share, but I actually think he's too busy pegging to take the time to write it down for us right now, so we're just going to have to wait. He mentioned that briefly, and I get a big smile on my face thinking about John having such a good time that he doesn't have the time to write us and tell us the good news and let us play the music. So when you're ready, John, and thanks again for the contribution. Charlie was kind enough to send in $50 as well, and when I wrote him to ask if it was okay to use his name, he wrote back and said, it is for a great cause, and yes, you can use my first name. So Charlie, really appreciate the donation. Thank you so much for sending it in. And last, but far, far from least, is, and I'm going to use her full name, Jean Franzblau. She sent in $25, and I'm honored to receive a donation from Jean. Here's why. Jean is someone you should know, and Jean is someone you should check out. She has an Indiegogo project, and what that is that's a crowdsource funding type of project. Jean has a show that she is trying to put on stage, and it's called Coming Out Kinky, A Grown-Up Story. And I'm going to read you a little bit from the website with the Indiegogo project. What's the show about? When Jean was a little girl, she believed that sex must be bad and made the impossible commitment to never be sexual. The show tracks her story, where Jean untangles the truth that sex is a natural and wonderful part of the human experience. She allows herself to walk an unusual path of exploration and comes to accept herself, along with her quirky, unfolding sexuality. What does the show's title mean? The title of the show was inspired by a coming out conversation Jean had with her mom. Now, Jean is trying to produce this show and have a nice long production of it at the Santa Monica Playhouse, I believe. So she's been trying to raise an amount of, I think it's $23,000, and she's got until December 9th to reach that goal. Right now, she has enough money to have a very short play. In other words, she's able to produce this show, which is so amazingly honest and sex positive. And, well, you know what? Let me read you some of the comments from people who have seen the show in the two test shows that they did to gauge people's reactions. I can't stop thinking about it. It's profound. What a story. Amazing. I was blown away. I can't get my thoughts together. It stunned me. The show was funny, sad, honest, and riveting. The show was smart, interesting, rich, and deep. The story, staging, body movement, and facial expressions were priceless. So she's raised over $8,000 of her goal, and that will allow her to put the show on. But as you can see, it's just another one of those amazing sex positive, it's a show that needs to be seen. It's a show that needs to get out there to do its part in this wonderful thing that we're doing of waking people up to the fact that sex is normal, no matter how you decide to do it, as long as it's consensual, and how important it is to follow your desires and your bliss, and to embrace that instead of labeling it wrong and bad and weird and strange. So I think Jean has done a fabulous job of that, and I'd love to encourage you to, I am encouraging you to go to the website, which I will have a link on the blog. But if you go to Indiegogo.com, under the projects, if you put in Coming Out Kinky, I'm sure that you can find it there and donate. The fundraising period will end on December 9th, so give what you can. I think you and I are going to exchange some donations here with each other, which I think is, it's almost sexy. Oh my God, it's almost sexy. It interweaves really nicely, us throwing money at each other. There's something very sexy about that. And I can't wait to see the finished production on stage and check it out. Okay, so let's see here. The other thing that I'm going to tell you about, I announced this on Facebook, and I think I've talked about it a little bit, but to be honest, you do, 71 podcasts, and every once in a while you forget what you talk about. As much as research as I can do, I'm not sure if I told you about this. I have started working with a home party sex toy business called Entice Me. And this is a creation of Tiffany Yelverton, who went to one of these horrible passion parties, pleasure parties, whatever. And she looked at what they did and she thought, oh my gosh, I can do so much better at this. And that's exactly what she did. She left the corporate world. She's never been happier out of the corporate world, which was stressing her all to hell and back. And she created this really top-of-the-line, body-safe, non-toxic sex toy home party business. So can you see how well this fits in everything that I end up talking to you guys about? I teach classes about toxic toys. It's my passion. I've bent your ear about this. I can't tell you how many times. So when Tiffany and I met, I took a look at what she was doing and thought, oh my gosh, this, I could do this with my eyes closed. This would allow me to retire after 26 years of massage now and give my hands a break and go off to something that interweaves deliciously with the whole Ruby Rider business. And that's what I decided to do. So I'm in there. And the reason I'm telling you all this is not just to keep you guys up on my life and what's happening, but it's because this is one more way to support me if you'd like. I have gotten requests over the years of, you know, you really need to like sell something on your website because I want to support you. And if I'm going to be buying lube or toys or things like that anyway, I'd rather buy them from you and support you than to go to Amazon and get the best deal that I could because they want to support me. So that's exactly what's happening now. And although I will not have the link up with my affiliate link by the time this podcast goes up, because I'm putting it up, about an hour after I finish talking here, what I will have is a link on my blog. And I will also have a link, let's see, where else am I going to put that for you guys who download it from iTunes? I think you'll just have to go to my blog to get the link. But the other thing that you can do is if you just go to enticeme.com, you can put in the note for, they call us sexinistas, the people who do these home parties. I am a sexinista now. Add that to my many other labels and titles, right? So if you put Ruby under the sexinista part, then I will get credit for a portion of that sale. Now, the reason I'm talking all this up is because, yeah, as a sex educator, it's not my day job, and I'm trying to figure out a way how to do this full time. And these parties not only seem like fun, but it's well structured. The percentage that I get, the reimbursement, not reimbursement, I make a decent amount of money. That's what I'm trying to say. And words aren't coming out quite right. But why I'm telling you now is because there's a sale going on with this business, and it's 30% off of pretty much everything that we offer. And again, everything we offer is absolutely body safe, non-toxic. You will find no phthalates, no glycerin, no parabens, and no propylene glycol. So we pay close attention to the lubes that we sell as well. And the one thing that you will never have seen before that I am totally in love with, I mean, there's all kinds of amazing sex toys that I'm having a lot of fun testing. But the one thing that I have never seen anywhere else that I'm totally in love with is a lube. It's called Sex Butter. So there's this woman in LA, and unfortunately, I do not have her name at the tip of my fingers, but she went through chemotherapy, and she was trying to find something to heal herself, because she said, what people don't tell you about chemotherapy, if you're a woman, is that it pretty much destroys your vagina. It makes it so that it's thin-walled, and it also just eliminates any ability for it to lubricate on its own. And so she was trying to formulate something that was natural and soothing and healing for herself, so that she could still have sex, and so that this part of her body would heal more and feel better. So thus was born Sex Butter, and it's made from completely natural and organic oils. It's hormone-free, it's paraben-free, and this is what she says, it promotes faster, longer, more intense, and more satisfying orgasms. It's designed for both genders, and it's 100% edible. So the really cool part is that when you smell this stuff, you'll fall in love with it. All I have to do is let people smell it, and they end up buying it. And when they taste it, it's just a done deal. It smells a little bit of dark chocolate with a hint of mint. And that tiny bit of mint is actually a stimulation factor. So what she says is you take a little bit of this and you put it on your clit for the women, and it just makes you so aware of your sexuality that it kind of cranks you up a little bit. And she suggested putting a little bit on if you know you're going to have sex with your guy a little while later. And I used it as a hand job on a guy not too long ago, and he loved it. He thought it was excellent. So it's not only great for sex, it's also amazing for your skin. So there you have it. Check that out. It's called Sex Butter. So this sale is only good until Wednesday. This is the wee hours of the morning on Monday. So you've got today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, because that's when the sale will end to get that 30% off. And, you know, we also have all kinds of amazing new toys. We got the Wii Vibe 3, of course, which has a remote control. But we also have Lalo toys. My favorite one is one that has the basic rabbit structure, where it's got the insertable penis-shaped sort of. I mean, it's much more rounded. It doesn't look like a penis, but basically the part that you put inside the vagina, and then another small part that comes out and sits on top of or next to or underneath the clitoris. And the vibe patterns on that are just amazing. I mean, that is like toy of the year as far as I'm concerned. And then for people who have a little bit of kink and they really like the whole idea of the remote control thing, we have the Ida. And the Ida is actually something that sits inside the woman. It's got a round part that sits on the clitoris, and it's got a kind of a finger-shaped thing that goes inside, and it literally kind of waves back and forth on the G-spot. Now, that's a cool enough thing all by itself, and it's actually meant to be used during intercourse in certain positions. But if you put it in and you have a tight pair of panties on and you hand the remote to your partner, it is a quiet enough toy once you master the remote to have some fun in places like restaurants and things. So you might want to check it out. It's a hefty price. And what happens with hefty price toys when you have 30% off is that you have a hefty savings. So should you be in the market for some expensive sex toys that are top of the line, come on down, click the link, help support me and my quest to spread the word about pegging, help support me doing this sex positive, amazing stuff full time, and have a bunch of savings at the same time. As far as buying expensive sex toys, I like to say two things. One is that if you go out to dinner and a movie, you're going to be spending about $100. You can use that $100 and put it towards a sex toy, and instead of one lovely night of dinner and a movie, you will have lots of lovely nights of pleasure, because these things are guaranteed, they're waterproof, they're rechargeable, forget the batteries. There's so many things I could say about them. They're excellent, excellent toys. The other thing I like to say is, rather than saying this is the gift that keeps on giving, because it's true, but that is such an overused phrase and it's rather trite, this is the gift that keeps on coming. So, okay, commercial over. Thanks for your patience in listening. Take advantage of the sale if it is in your budget and what you desire. So, I have another orgasm recorded for you, but contrary to the suggestion of my friend who wanted to hear women orgasming, this is another man. It is a lovely recording, but a man who has been a longtime listener, commenter, reader, put in his 2 cents worth that I should do the first woman's recording to kind of get the ball rolling, so to speak. And I think I will do that. I will absolutely do that next week. So if you're going to miss a podcast, don't make it be number 72. And now I'm totally putting pressure on myself to make it a really good one. I do think, though, that you will enjoy the one that I have for you this time. So if you would like to call in and leave your orgasm recording, you can call in at 805-500-6544. You can also call in at 805-500-6544 and leave stories, questions, whatever you like at that number. You can also follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page. Lots of you have been giving me thumbs up. I'm actually up to 677. I'm impressed. Thank you so much. My blog has sexy pictures. It also has the all-important link to the sale, if you want to take advantage of that. And a lot of things that never show up on my podcast, so if you want to follow that, the link is there on my blog. My podcast is available on iTunes. It can also be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. You can send all your questions and stories to rubyrider@peggingparadise.com if you like. Don't want to call in. And I always thank you for downloading and listening. If it wasn't for you all, I would not be here doing this. Happy pegging.
Hey, man. Oh, man. This so bad. Thank you, man.